Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Happens.
Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me, as always, is the hilarious, the lovely, the even-tempered, the person who would never get mad at me for suggesting that I would have to maybe Google something that he said. It's Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Well, hi, Ben. And actually, anybody who listens to this, Google everything I say, because I'm full of shit. Okay, I'm never telling you anything correctly.
Google everything. Hi, everyone. I'm here in New York right now. So if I sound a little different, it's because I got a different mic. I'm sitting at my childhood desk. My parents will probably print something in the middle of this podcast. They already announced that that a plumber's coming over and the bathroom is like right on the other side of this mic. So you may hear some clanking. Who knows? But I'm just giving you a fair warning, you know. I'm at home, and you never know what you're going to hear. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you might hear some test flushes, some test poopins going on next door just to make sure everything's kosher with the toilet.
There's a leaky faucet, so they'll probably have to take off the faucet. There'll probably be some hammering, you know, but that's okay. We're talking Salt Lake City today, and I also have to say, by the way, thank you to everyone who went out and bought a ticket to our shows over the weekend, because tickets for our tour went on sale on Friday. And we sold out two venues already. New York is like, there's probably like maybe a third of the theater left, which is crazy because it's such a huge theater. Philadelphia, LA, all these places. Thank you so much for getting tickets. And obviously, if you missed the announcement, tickets are on sale. Go to watchcrappens.com to get tickets to our 2022 tour. It's our 10-year anniversary tour. It's our Hunky Dory tour. So yes. Come celebrate 10 years of Crappens with us.
And the New York show is our Golden Crappy Award. So that's going to be our biggest show and probably our most fun to start off. Just start it
swinging, okay?
Yeah. So come to that.
That theater is like 1,500 people. That is the biggest theater we've ever done by far. And it's basically Times Square. So this is like, it's so high profile for us. And it's very exciting. And we, you know, Times Square, it takes a lot to like besmirch Times Square. But we can do it. And I think we can do it, Ronnie.
To besmirch it?
We're bringing Crappens into Times Square. And we're saying, Times Square, you're about to get the Crappens legacy. The Crappens experience.
Consider yourself besmirched. Times Square, we're coming. But yeah, thank you to everybody who did that. Tonight is our Take a Seat Day, our show over on Green Room, which is an app on Spotify. That's a live show that we do every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. So come join us for that. We talk about random Bravo stuff and just basically talk on the phone and crack each other up and talk to you and get cracked up by you. So come to that. Get the Green Room app and follow Ben Mandelker, Ronnie Karam. If you can't find Ronnie Karam, that's me. Just search at Take a Seat, all one word, and you'll find me. And let's get on, because you know what?
Yeah,
we're just plugging a lot of shit today.
There's nothing left to plug. We plugged it all.
Let's get to the bread and butter, okay, Ben?
Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and wow, the Trixie Tabernacle Choir was just out of control this episode. Every week we say it, but it's like every week they are trying to top themselves. And it was like every scene had a Trixie Tabernacle Choir, and I was cracking up.
It's Trixie Monoclackle.
Okay. Monoclackle. Oh, sorry. I was going Tabernacle.
The Trixie Monoclackle Choir.
The Trixie Monoclackle. the Trixie Monoclackle experience. It was so out of control. The episode opened up, and there was no sound. There was no sound. It was just like shots of like mountains. And then all of a sudden, um,
Yeah, they're really expanding the musicality of that choir. I mean, they did all sorts of stuff today. I was cracking up. So we started with that one. We see a state building and then temple roofs. A little mixing of church and state to open. Ooh. And then we see a little house on the river, and it's Whitney's farmhouse. I am Whitney. I am going to call everybody I know to see if they want to come to a girls' tubing day at Soldiers Hollow on Monday. Can we start that again? Just, Whitney, just keep going through your Rolodex, okay? Babe, you can do this. We believe in you, Whitney.
Yeah, she goes through and she calls everyone to invite them to
Soldiers Hello.
And first of all, she called up Angie, and this was notable to me because it said, Angie, Whitney's friend. I was like, damn, they denied their cousinship.
Yeah, how does Shadrach feel about that?
I know. Also, we actually got a message from Angie, who said, she messaged us and was like, love the show, guys. But by the way, I absolutely am not QAnon. I've never been QAnon, but I've been mixed up with this other girl who is QAnon. So, like,
Sarah,
I just want to put it out there that I am definitely not QAnon. So, you know, that's the latest on that story.
Okay, well, good. Well, as I'm the one who put that out there, I will say I am sorry. Anon.
Wow.
I'm sorry, Anon.
Sorry, Anon.
I've had a hashtag
Follow
great awakening. Okay.
Follow the breadcrumbs of apologies.
Yeah, maybe she was mixed up with Sarah, who's the other lady that they were going to bring on last year. Remember the lady who was singing happy birthday to the wrong person or whatever?
Yeah.
That lady maybe is QAnon. I don't know. Bunch of newbies, and you never really know in Salt Lake City. You've really never know what you're going to get. I mean, here we are with our first polygamy storyline on Housewives, okay? We just don't know.
Well, we just don't know who really we're dealing with in almost any scene because, I mean, literally every cast member looks like every other cast member. Like, everyone seems to have a doppelganger. And so, I mean, we've seen like six Whitneys. Like, Whitney brought on another Whitney this episode, who I think we've met before, or maybe it was just another Whitney. And remember, Meredith and Lisa were basically the same person last season until Meredith got like reduced the size of her hair by like 4 inches this season. So they all kind of look the same. So I think it's like very reasonable to confuse Angie for someone else who was like caught up in QAnon. I think that's a reasonable mistake. You know, white, super white lady with blonde long hair. It's kind of like most of the people we've seen on the show.
Yeah. So guess not QAnon. So yay for you. So Whitney starts calling people to invite them to this thing. She calls Jen. She calls Angie. And Angie's like, oh gosh, yay. Angie has some weird voice. Have you noticed that Angie sometimes is like, hi, I'm ready to go to this thing.
Yes.
And then sometimes she like totally talks normal.
Yeah, and at 2 a.m. last night or this morning, I had perfected my Angie voice. It was like, it was so perfect. And now when I want to do Angie, I'm like, hey, I'm Angie. I'm like, wait, where did that come from?
Well, it changes all the time. It's really hard to get it down. It's like, hey, yeah, God, get me out of this house. I can't wait to go tubing at Soldiers Hollow. And then she gets there and she's like, oh, yes, everything's great. She kind of has that Elizabeth Perkins voice from Big. She's all over the place, Angie. I'm not really sure yet.
Yeah, I feel like she definitely articulates, you know, she does that articulation thing where, you know, where she's saying things like, I can't believe that you would believe that of me. But again, I've lost my impression of her. So that really probably sounds nothing like her.
So then Mary, of course, has the voicemail that we probably all suspected that Mary has, which is the person you have called has a voicemail box that hasn't been set up yet. Please hang up and try again.
Well, this is great news because now we know that if we come for Mary, we don't have to worry about her sending Jesus after us because she hasn't set up her voicemail yet.
Jesus can come after me all he wants. He's always got wine and he's hot. And I'm opening a bubbly. So take that, Michael Bublé. So then Whitney realizes after making all of these phone calls that she's left her poor little dog at the front door the whole time waiting for her. He's outside. He's like, meow. Yeah.
No, I thought it was that the dog had peed. There was a puddle.
Oh, well, it was outside, wasn't it?
Oh, wait, was the dog? So I was
Welcome to our Monday. We're going to worry about this for an hour. Just go ahead and fast forward for about 6 minutes if you don't want to hear this argument.
The way I interpreted the scene was that Whitney went over and there was a puddle on the floor. So I was distracted by the puddle. So maybe there was a dog on the other side of the glass door that I was not looking at.
No, the front door. like the red front door. The dog was just sitting outside. She's like, wait a minute, dog. Oh.
No, no, no. Yeah, no. Okay. I think you did misinterpret it. You're right. I remember the dog out there. No, she found a puddle of pee and then it was like, stupid dog. And then they cut to the dog outside being like, oh, well.
Oh. Oh, so I just got mad at Whitney and I should have been mad at the dog. Yeah. I'm really glad you cleared that up, actually, because I was furious with Whitney the whole episode. I'm like, who just leaves their dog at the front door?
No, that dog had peed in the house and was just laying outside to be like, yep, I did it.
Yeah, he deserves it then. Okay, so Lisa drives up to Henry's school. He's like, hi, Mom.
Hi, baby gorgeous. Baby gorgeous, I missed you. Hey, gorgeous. Sweetie, baby gorgeous. What do you want to eat, baby love? Baby love.
Baby love, you want to go to Wendy's? Should I turn on the song, baby love, while we go to Wendy's, baby love? Come on, baby gorgeous. Baby gorgeous. Henry and I share a love of fast food.
It's like, really? You don't say a kid loves fast food? What are the odds?
Yeah, it's crazy. He's like, and for dessert, can we go to Bahama Bucks?
Yes, we can, little baby love face. Oh my God, you work so hard. You are the CEO of a company. You can get whatever you want. You know what? You're going to get Bahamas Bucks with your Henry Bucks. I said it. I said it, Forbes. Here we come, baby.
Have you ever heard of a Bahama Bucks?
Yeah. I take my niece there. It's a snow cone place.
What?
It's another one of those businesses. It's like everything but the Bunts. No, everything but the cakes. Where you're like, how does a Bunt cake store stay in business? But it does, and they're delicious. This is the same thing. Like, there's a fucking snow cone store? Yes, there is. And it does very well. The kids love it. I think they just put a little crack. You know, it's just basically sugar on ice. They love it. They love it.
Bahama Bucks. Also, I got some intel about that buffet that Heather mentioned last week. What was it called again? It was called the something buffet or whatever. Apparently, that buffet is like a whole thing in Utah. And then I was informed by a friend that because Mormons are like not allowed to engage in like caffeine or anything, like the vice comes out at going to the Jamboree buffet or whatever it was called. And that's like the big thing. It's like you go there and you just like carb out like mad.
Oh yeah. Cause carbs are allowed.
Yeah. Carbs just are allowed. Caffeine. That's the vice.
Yeah. Yeah. Like my old trips to the Golden Corral with my dad, mac and cheese and dinner rolls. Delicious. So Lisa tells us, I grew up eating carob chips and thinking they were chocolate. Like, my mom ran a co-op. Like, so for me, it's like, hey, I'm an adult now. This is adulting for me.
Bahama Box, okay?
And then she's like, how are things with you, Henry? How are you? And he's like, well, things with bloop. They like bleep out some asshole's name. And he says things are not so good. She goes, they're not. Yeah, and he's like, yeah, he just didn't want to be my friend, and he stopped talking to me.
Hey, that's all I cut you off? Like the server at Bahama Bucks when you asked for your sixth snow cone? He just cut you off?
He's just starting things with you? Was it about the school's catering?
He's like,
no, I tried to talk to him, and he said, you think you're the good kid, but you're not.
It's like, damn, that's quite a kid fight. Jeez.
Oh my God, Baby Gorgeous. Oh my God. That's not Baby Gorgeous. Okay. That's Baby Ugly. All right. And we could, you know what? How about we do a hangout and see if we can make pass. Okay. Does that sound good to you, Baby Gorgeous? Baby Gorgeous?
Yeah, it sounds like what I'm going through with Whitney. Hit it head on. I hope Henry follows through with us. Okay. Okay. Henry, I know I said Wendy's, but here we are at a Starbucks. So drink some red tea and some cake pops. Okay. While we drive to Wendy's. Okay.
No, I think they actually had already gone to Wendy's because when they got that dragon fruit tea, it looked like there already was like a Wendy's. I saw some Wendy's packaging on his lap.
Oh, God. So Bahama Bucks got screwed over in this. Well, at least they got a national shout out. So Lisa's like,
look, we're discussing it here. Who's a better parent, me or daddy?
It's like you, for sure.
Thanks, Baby Gorgeous.
So, so now we got... So this is how the thing is, it's really hard to express the melody of the Tripsy Monoclackle Choir. So this is what I wrote. Ha, 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 ho, ho, ha, which I believe probably went something like,
ha, 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 ho, ho, ha, 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 ha.
They did bring in some hoes this time, which I really liked. They brought some hoes into their musicality. So here we go with Jenny and Dewey, who Dewey is dead to me, like I said, but I'll watch his ghost do this scene. So Spencer, now here's one thing I like about Spencer, Salt Lake City.
Thank you.
They don't have the thirsty waiters, because you know on every other show they're like, oh my god, hi, welcome to the oyster place, what can I get you, can I go through my specials, I'm gonna go through my specials. So calm down, you know, like you're not going to be on Vanderpump Rules because of this order taking, but not Spencer. Spencer's
Spencer,
like
no.
Do you want anything, what can I do, just tell me what I can do, please, so I can leave this camera, please.
I feel like Spencer was doing, what's it called, like ACMR or whatever, like anything that's like supposed to be ASMR. Soothing. ASMR. He's like, hi, I'm Spencer, and I'll be your server. What can I help you with? And I was like, wow, what a
please
calm
don't
horse.
Hurt me. Please don't hit me. So Ronnie, it's the middle of the day, and this is a dirty martini couple. They both order some dirty martinis at lunch.
Well, Jenny orders a hot water with lemon and a dirty martini, which I thought was an odd pairing. And I know, Ronnie, you like to look for signs in things. You know, you like to look for hidden signs and hidden meetings. Well, there was a literal hidden sign in the scene, which is that they sat down at a table the shape of a stop sign. So, I mean, if that's a message to Jenny, like literally a warning, stop, leave this man.
So cheers. So she tells us that they haven't talked much since she left the snow after he suggested they get a sister wife. And she's like, well, I'm annoyed, but we do have an oyster night ritual. So I'm not going to say no to oysters. Right. So I came.
So before they embark on this scene, we should address the fact that this whole thing that is like going on social media about her niece. And
oh, yes. Let's do it.
Yeah, so her niece basically is like, no, Jenny is a crook and she's a liar. And she hasn't, she took money from our family. Basically, she's a grifter like everyone else, according to the niece.
Right. Well, she doesn't say their names or anything, but we know that she's talking about Jenny, right? So
yeah.
She says that they're really bad people and that this girl's parents supported Jenny and Dewey all this time, and then Jenny and Dewey sued them to try and get money because they're greedy and selfish. Now, this girl doesn't say why they sued them, what the lawsuit was for. There's no receipts in that. There are no receipts in this TikTok, but it went viral, and it's amazing to watch how people react to stuff because they're like, oh, I knew she was a fucking bitch. It's like all the comments are crazy. Anti-Jenny. The girl didn't even say what she did. I mean, randomly sued them for what? What did she sue you for? You can't just sue somebody like, I'm greedy, I'm going to sue that person for no reason and try and take all of their money. So I'm not really sure what's happening. But I'm giving Jenny the benefit of the doubt because she's a martini drinker at lunch. And you know what? You know what alcoholics need? Support from other alcoholics. And I support your decision.
Well, that being said, Jenny did post a very strange thing on Twitter. Where did you see this? She like was in Times Square and she like picked up a random child and it was like holding this like little boy, and she was like, he was frightened by all the noise, so I comforted him. This is like, I love being a mom or something like that. I was like, who is this little boy that you're taking a picture with on Instagram?
She just took someone's kid off the ground and off the sidewalk and held it up.
I've got to find it. I mean, I think it's just some kid, but like... It was literally the strangest thing. I will find it over the course of this episode. And
she's like, "Am I a kind stranger or a process server, you little brat? I'm suing you for everything you've got because I'm greedy."
Yeah. Oh, here it is.
So I'm gonna need more receipts from the niece.
Yeah, I have no idea. Wait, I'm gonna send this to you right now because this is, it's just like very odd. Just like like the context of it. Wait. Oh, wait. And she said it's with family permission, of course. But like, I'm not sure it was like a family she knew. I think she was like, can I take a picture with your child? Hold on. I'm sending this.
Well, we all know that I've done that as well. Every time we're on a plane, I somehow get sat between two children. And then by the end of it, I'm like, yeah, let's take pictures. We're best friends. Call me.
Okay. Okay, I sent it to you. So the caption is, he was awakened by the loud noise in Times Square. So glad I was able to console him. Love being a mom.
And he's just hanging on to her, staring up at a sign like, help.
Help me, please.
And there's a Bubba Gump in the background.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Okay, so she immediately brings up this kid thing. I mean, you just walked off the last scene. Just drop it until he brings it up right. again. But she doesn't. She's like, listen, you know how busy I am with three kids. Do you really want more? And I just wrote, please shut up with this. Because I don't want to hear about it. I don't want it to be a storyline. I just don't want to have to hear about it. So he just groans. And he's like, we're going there. I need more alcohol at noon. Can I have another dirty? And she's like, this is nothing new. And he says, this is nothing new. And she's like, but I mean, we've talked about it, but you mentioned a shocker. It was unexpected, and I was very upset. And he goes, I'm sorry that I upsetted you. But when you walked away, I hurt. She's like, well, how the fuck am I supposed to react? Like, you don't get what you want, so you're going to marry somebody else at the same time that you're married to me?
I love that he's hurt by her walking away. How about, like, she's hurt from having physical labor? How about that?
So, how about she's hurt by you asking for an additional womb to join the family?
Exactly. You ass. And so she's, like, crying, you know, and he goes, well, what other solution is there? Get a dog. Get a Peloton. Get, like, join a club. Like, there's other ways. Like, you don't, like, you have three children. That is more than enough, okay? Like, you're good. Get a Roomba, okay? Get a Roomba and give it a baby rattle, okay? And that's your new baby.
She's like, isn't it illegal to have multiple marriages anyway? And he goes, no, because in 2019, they removed that law. And I would like to thank TLC for making that possible. And she's like, okay, but it's only removed in Utah. And he goes, yeah, but we live in Utah. So what's the big deal?
I guess they're not traveling anytime soon. And so then Dewey is like, you know, he goes, polygamy is not unique to here in Utah. I mean, they have it all over the world. I'm like, it doesn't matter if it's all over the world. She doesn't want it. And that's your wife. Okay. Like, just, you have to drop it. So then he does this whole thing again of like, it's not uncommon in our culture. In Asia, there are many polygamy families. And then it cuts to Jenny saying, well, I know his grandfather had multiple wives. And then he goes back to him and he goes, they make it work. So we can make it work here. And he has this way of doing, like, he sort of does like a light Tom Colicchio, you know, mm-hmm. where he's like, they make it work. We can make it work here.
Yeah. And she's like, okay, so what would you expect from the sister wife? Okay, now you're entertaining this idea. I don't like this. Just, I need a flat no from you. And he's like, I don't know, sweetheart. I just don't know. She's like, this is weird. Do I get to at least interview her? I mean, what do I have to call her and make a schedule of the nights that I get you? And he goes, listen, how do other people do it? That's what we need to discuss. How do other people do it? We'll go off that model.
Yeah. And then he says some bullshit stuff here. He goes, well, as a physician, first of all, you're a chiropractor, not a physician. I think those are two different things entirely. He goes, as a physician, I have patients who are polygamous. As one example, I have one gentleman with 5 wives and 40 kids, and the kids are phenomenal. The kids go to college. The kids are very well behaved. So I don't see it being anything unusual that we're trying to accomplish. The ultimate goal is to have a big family. It'll be fun. I'm like, sir, you, first of all, 40 children, that's a lot of backs to adjust, sir. Okay, first of all, so you better be putting a bunch of ice out on those on those sidewalks in Utah to get people to fall over. Second of all, this is ridiculous because we know he's not going to be the one taking care of all those kids. Third of all, I don't want to hear the I've met a polygamous family and it's great. Your wife doesn't want to do it, and that's that.
Yeah. And also 40 kids. Who has 40 kids and wants them to all go to college? I'd be like, kids, today we're not going to learn shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to learn today. Skills. Okay. You're learning plumbing. You're learning electric. And you seem smart. You can learn to code on the computers because none of your asses are going to college. I will tell you that right now.
Where do they all live? they can't all live in the same house. How do you drive somebody? You literally have to, like, your family car is a roller coaster, okay? It's like a roller coaster off the tracks. What are you talking about? Why is that sound appealing to you? What void is that going to fill, by the way?
Listen, this is polygamy is like a thin person's goal, okay? It's like a skinny jeans goal. You do it when you're young. You don't just decide when you're 50 you're going to start wearing skinny jeans everywhere, okay? You do that when you're young. You don't decide in your 50s, like, I want 40 kids. No. That's like what you do when you're 20 and you're like, you know what? I want to try out polygamy. Then you've got time, you know? But not when you're 50.
And also this, like, assumption that he's like, oh, just going to get a sister wife, as if, like, you just go to Radio Shack and you just take one off the shelf. Like, like, you realize you also have to, like, have someone fall in love with you and fall in love with the idea of this whole thing and want to be sister wives with Jenny, too. Like, he just acts as if it's just the simplest thing in the world.
Yeah. So he's like, look, you're my best friend. And so, you know, as I look at this, and he's like wringing his hands, he's like, my greatest fear is I don't want to lose you. And she's like, yeah, I know you don't want me to feel this way, but you're not putting yourself in my shoes. It's not fair. And he's like, but having a big family means a lot to me. And having more children will fulfill the emptiness in my heart. Get a pizza. Yeah. Order a pizza. That's what fulfills the emptiness in my heart, okay? You know what fulfills the emptiness in my heart? Triglycerides.
Has he played Zelda? He should play Zelda. That would do a lot.
So she's like, maybe you should try therapy. So, there's nothing wrong with me. I know what I want. There's nothing wrong. And so then
there's nothing
wrong
with me. I just want 40 children. That's all. There's nothing, like, I know what I want. I just want 40, like, that's all I need. If I just have 40 children, I'll be fixed. I'll be fine. By the way, do you know how long, how about this? First, talk to Nick Cannon and see how he's enjoying it. Okay. Then come back.
Well, I wouldn't say that because he seems to be enjoying it just fine. I haven't heard him complaining about it.
Either way, and by the way, we should also mention he seemed to really skirt the issue that Jenny brought up about Catholicism. She's like, by the way, we're not even Mormon. We're Catholic, and I don't think this is, like, part of the Catholic Church. And he's like, oh no, it's fine, it's not, the Ten Commandments don't have a problem with it. It's like, do we, your logic is so, like, it's so flawed. You know, it's, I mean, and by the way, I mean, Jenny basically comes to the conclusion that he has really not healed from the trauma of them losing their daughter, which I think is, you know, seems very, very, very fair to say. And
well, and I would suggest a worse trauma. Get a frying pan and hit him over the head with it. Okay. Give him something new to worry about. But yeah, that is a really sad story that they have. And of course he's broken and hurt by that. Like, no one's going to say, you shouldn't be hurt by that. Of course he should. But, you know, making your wife take on a sister wife isn't the first solution that you should be going to.
The first step is to change out that tie. I hope you saw the tie this week, because it's going to haunt me forever. His fucking tie and his confessional.
Oh, first, this guy.
Cut that thing off. Yeah.
Okay, so let's go. So now we get a ha rest. Ha rest. Ha ha ha. Ha 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 ha. I was like, oh, a nice little heart and soul ah. Love it, choir. So Meredith and Seth are meeting for lunch, and Seth is like, sorry I'm late, but you know what they say. Better late than ugly, am I right?
The two of them are at Antica Sicilia, which I'm like, if you're going to go get Italian, just why not go to Cucina Toscana? Like, I don't understand why they would, like, cheat on that or on Valters, but they did it nonetheless. Also, did you notice the creepy ass skull, like, statue that they should, this, like, green little girl as part of the B-roll? They're like, look at beautiful Utah mountains, rivers, and a very creepy statue of a green girl.
Of a green girl who probably ate at a place called Antica Italia. I'm assuming that means Italian antique. Now listen, I don't want to eat an antique. How about you take me to Fresca Italia? Okay. Antiques are great. I don't want to eat old things.
She probably ate too much green jello at the Chuck-O-Rama buffet. You know?
The Chuck-O-Rama, yeah. So Seth, yeah, Seth is being Seth. And Meredith is like, actually, I think the saying is better late than never, Seth. He's like, oh, yeah, I love that outfit. I love that outfit. Oh, God. It's like, it's a blend of perfect, like, chicness and fucking perfect hotness. Yeah. And he just, like, stares at her boobs.
And it's like, by the way, not that at all. She looks like part bellhop and part Art Deco elevator. I'm like, there's nothing here that looks like hot as fuckness. It's
like, so the Italian comes over and he's like, I have a special menu. You trust me? No? You're going to tell me what you're going to fucking make? What is this place?
And then Seth goes, any shots in the interim? It's like, dude, he's making you like a nice tasting menu. You want to do shots? And then Meredith.
Yeah, because you know, shots, it'll make the lock easier to take off, if you know what I mean, waiter. Yeah.
And Meredith is being all coy. She's like trying to really sell that she's still in love with this man. She's like,
she looks like grossed out by him the entire scene.
For good reason.
For good reason, yeah.
Because it's also, like, disgusting.
So I want to finalize where we're going to buy, because there's Deer Valley lots, and there's lots on the back of the valley, which have spectacular views, Seth.
And he's like, I care about one thing and one thing only. And she's like, making me happy. He goes, no. Mother Nature's cleavage. The view. I want to wake up and I want to see this. I want to motorboat Mother Nature.
I want to motorboat Mother Nature.
Did I say motherboard?
Yeah. I want to motorboat Mother Nature. That's how I want to get out of bed.
And she's like, well, Seth and I were able to get through the hard times in our marriage. Now we're transitioning into peaceful times. And he's like, so what do you want me to do? I can't read your mind. All right, what are your expectations? Because I've been guessing my entire life.
And he's like leaning over the table. He's... You know what he's doing? He's doing like Tom Cruise mannerisms, which I've only really seen Tom Cruise do. You know how like when Tom Cruise talks in interviews, he'll like lean forward really far at the interviewee, like really intensely. And now Seth is doing that too. He's like, I can't read your mind. I've been trying my entire life. She goes,
but
wow.
When Seth does it, he also adds like a glance at your boobs and just keeps his eyes there, you know?
So Meredith is like, wow. I think with all the marriage counseling and the guidance we've had, I think for us, what really saved us was learning communication techniques. So, for instance, when you wake up with an erection, you go to the window and you shake your head on the pane of glass, I know now you're just motorboating Mother Nature, which is disgusting, but at least I understand it now.
You know, some things are solid, but the only thing I don't feel solid about, Seth, is that sometimes I don't have full support. There's a lot going on, and everyone's going, ma. You know what I'd like to see? A bit more dad. You know what I'd like to see? A bit more boobs. Hard to say a lot in a row, but you know what I mean, right, tits?
You know... Seth and I, we went to a discernment therapist, and their job is to discern if you should stay married or not, and if you so, then they help you get what you need, and that's what we did. Although before we went to the discernment therapist, we went to the Yellow Pages therapist, and the Yellow Pages therapist will look up in the Yellow Pages and decide which therapist, discernment therapist, you should go to, so we did that. Although before the Yellow Pages therapist, we also went... to the post office therapist. That way the Yellow Pages therapist knew which mailbox to come find us in. It was a whole process.
We learned our best lesson there. And they said, you got a problem? Stamp it out. That makes a lot of sense. I'll take the Elvis head. Thank you.
Seth really likes going to the post office, mainly because he gets to lick a lot of stamps. He really grosses everyone out when he does it. I want to warn people beforehand. You don't want to see him lick a stamp.
Can't wait to see this unsealed.
Return to sender.
Now, Meredith, the kids are calling you for support because they don't want to be calling Seth for support. Don't act like it's just some random line that the kids are calling and so and a parent will pick up. It's not like the old days with the landline in your house. They're calling you on purpose. They don't want to. Could you imagine Brooks calling Seth for advice? Oh, my God.
Well, Dad, like, I was gonna get these Lulus, but, like, I'm not sure if they make me look like I have chicken legs or not. I really need you to call me back.
Seth is like, have you tried to lick them yet?
So here's my advice. Boobs.
Boobs. Yeah, so basically he basically tells her that she's more or less that she's like over engaging with them, and that like she should just be like, you guys have to figure it out. Like, she's basically
I like how he says it. He goes, you need to ask yourself when you're talking to the kids, do I really need to be having this conversation right now? Don't you have better things to do? Oh, God.
So if then, I don't have that conversation, Brooksy won't know that there's a frozen vegan option in the back of the display at the deli.
You know, the first time Brooks was gonna put Brooks Marks all over sweatpants from Target, he was gonna attach that ribbon with bubblegum, Seth. We have to pick up the phone, Seth.
Well, unfortunately, the one time I decided this was not a conversation I needed was when I believe Brooks was trying to come out with me, and as a result, we never had that conversation. So to this day, I don't know if he's gay or not, but I will celebrate Pride with him, despite him being of an undetermined status.
So she's like, listen, you know, managing the stress is hard. Sometimes I'm going to need you to jump on a grenade.
He's like, I'd jump on a stress grenade all day for you. Naked. Yeah.
It's like, when you think he's going to say something that can't be ruined, like, hey, I'll jump on a stress grenade all day for you. It's like, oh, okay, that was nice. Naked. You're like, oh, man.
So then we get some 80s pop Oz, which I really liked. It's like, so then they go to the beauty lab and there's beauty a party. Eliza. Because you guys might remember last year, all the ladies who worked at Beauty Lab got pregnant at the exact same time and they all had boys. So now it's a year later and it's time to throw them all a birthday party.
Yeah. Sounds like truly the worst thing in the world to me, but it's fun for them, I guess. So Ashley shows up. There's like there's a nacho spread. There's tons of babies, like lots and lots of babies. And then Whitney shows up, and she's like, "This is better than a puppy place, huh?" And then Angie makes her triumphant return after being gone. Like, she made a huge splash, and we didn't see her, but she's back now, and Angie is here in the scene.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, Whitney, you look gorge. W. Bush. Couldn't resist. Couldn't resist that one.
Gorge W. Bush. That's a classic.
So, girl, tell me everything. You want to do a shot? And then Heather comes by and says hi. And Angie's like, oh, God, look at all these kids. This is real birth control right here. W. Bush. Did it work the same in that one? God, I've just been waiting to use that.
Okay, cousin W. Bush, let's go talk. So then Heather's just like, you know, she's just sort of cavilling at the growth of her business.
Yeah, she's like, and, you know, I mean, I was so worried to open this business. I mean, what if we got in over our heads and no one came? But turns out no one comes more than this staff. Just look at all these babies.
So then a baby out of nowhere just starts bawling, and then it cuts to Jen Shaw opening the door, which I thought was funny editing. And basically the women are like, Whitney's telling the women about what happened with Lisa at their restaurant. She's like,
I was at Aubrey and Marco's restaurant, and the first thing out of Aubrey's mouth, she says, isn't it weird that Angie's lying and trying to pin this on me? And I go, stop right there. This is fucking fake. I go, who coached you? And then Lisa, I go, did Lisa coach you? And it was good. I did it.
Yeah, she said that Angie is lying. And Angie's like, wait, she said lying?
Lying?
There lying, are so lying. Many things you can accuse me of, but not lying.
She's like, she says, people are covering their own asses at my expense, W. Bush. No, really, I guess it really only works in one specific instance, huh?
Okay, so Angie put a post up on her Instagram stories, and I'm getting this off the Bravo Superfans account. So thanks, guys.
A lot of
guys.
Great supplemental information on this episode.
Yeah, a lot of social meds stuff happened
here. I have another
here.
One coming up soon also.
Well, this needs to be a five-hour recap. A fairly boring episode of Salt Lake City requires 10 hours of social media posts.
Excuse you, I thought it was a great episode.
Okay, well, you know what? We're allowed to have different thoughts, okay?
So, how would you feel if this is what she wrote? The caterers pulled out within hours of me talking to Lisa. A fact! I tried to call and text them after they pulled out. They didn't respond. A fact! They had sent me a menu called Casino Night Angie. A fact! They had agreed on a price of $70 a person. A fact! I called someone we have worked with for a previous family party who happens to be their brother and runs his own catering company. A fact! And they claimed they arranged it. False. That one's false. So their brother called the caterers to make sure they were okay with him taking the job, and they said yes, thankfully. A fact! He delivered an exceptional experience for our guests. A fact! Then they publicly call me a liar on social media and in the press and won't respond to me when asking how I lied. Fact! According to the text message I received, they didn't... They pulled out because Lisa and Jen's assistant called and wanted them to feature the restaurant, and this is just not the event for them. Then they say it was because it was for free. False. They agreed on prize. They also, this is like, there's like another page of this, but she lists like fact, fact, false, false, fact, fact, false, 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 fact.
W. Bush. So, So I guess, does that clear it? But I'm not sure. I still don't know.
It clears nothing up. It clears nothing up. Basically, she's still not saying, no one's just saying what happened, which is production said, we're not shouting out your business at this thing. You're already shooting at your restaurant. So just stick with that.
Yeah. I love this scandal. This is one of my favorite scandals of the year. It's just, there's just something so low stakes about it that, like, it's perfect for me. It's like everything that I want. Like, why did the caterers cancel the scandal that will plague us all for time immemorial? Immemorial, whatever.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Whitney's like, well, she set up a trap for me, but I figured it out and I took control.
And Jen is surprised because she doesn't think this is Lisa's style or vibe. And, Jen's a great character witness, So Whitney is like, you know what? Lisa and I still agreed to move on. And Angie's like, but will she move on with me? And Whitney, she's sort of like a light Meredith, right? Because if Meredith is like this, Angie is like this, right?
She's like a cross between Meredith and Lisa, because she's got a little of this, but she's also got a little of this. I'm not really sure yet. So she's like, is she moving on with me? And she's like, no, she's not going to move on with you. And Whitney says, however, she is coming snow tubing on Monday. Did everybody get my calls? Yes, Whitney. Should I try again? Bling, bling. Whitney, I'm sitting right here. Jen, this is Whitney. Would you like to come snow tubing on Wednesday at Soldier's Hollow?
And Angie's like, well, I've reached out to Lisa. I said, I love you. I've known her since I was a child, since I was a young child of 33. And this just breaks my heart.
And Heather's like, what Angie doesn't realize is that ship has sailed and she's never getting back on the SS Lisa. Stand up. Let us fluff our auras. I'm going to fluff our auras. Ha ha ha. Fluff auras. So she just starts doing that hand circular waving thing that she was doing at the restaurant to fluff auras.
Yeah, it's like she actually wants to smell her own fart or something. And then Angie just falls over. She just Angie just flops over. And I was like, okay, Angie, you've made it. You have now fallen over on The Real Housewives. Give this woman a snowflake.
So fucking wasted that you're falling down at a one-year-old birthday party. So congrats.
But I love someone like Angie who doesn't show any signs of being wasted until she falls over out of nowhere. Like, I thought she was just like normal. She's just like, I have an issue and I haven't heard back from Lisa and I told her I love you and she's lying and boom. I'm like, wait a second. She didn't sound drunk at all.
Yeah, she just got, because I kept showing her doing shots and Whitney's like, I don't want any fireball. Thank you, Angie. So by the end, Angie's just like, so then we get our next iteration of Ah, which is the Queen Bohemian Rhapsody. So Whitney is like, let us stretch for the bus. So it's bus day. They're going to go to this thing. Angie is dressed like she's in Kill Bill for some reason. And yes. They're waiting for everybody to get on the bus that Mary has got. So they start gathering. And Angie's passing on the mimosas today. She got a little drunk at the birthday party.
Yeah. And we see that she actually, after she fell over, she actually went into the bathroom. And Heather was like, girl, just puke it up. Just puke it up. So she just pukes. So then the party bus arrives and Mary's in the party bus and she's like blinking and she's like, Whitney picked an event for all the ladies and it was 2 hours away. That's 60 minutes twice. That's 30 minutes four times. Okay. That's 15 minutes eight times. Okay. And I wanted to be comfortable. So for me, that was mandatory to get transportation for us.
So they cheers and start having drinks and they go to pick up Lisa and Jen someplace else. And Lisa's like, Whitney invited Angie, which is kind of annoying, but to me, she's invisible. I forgive and forget. Sometimes it means I forget yo.
And then they show Angie literally disappearing from the limousine. They just fade her out.
They left over to Angie. And then Whitney's like,
thanks everybody for coming. I would like you to meet my friend, Connie Whitney. She has the same hair as me. So who has been tubing before? I was like, wait a second. Can we rewind to Connie? Because this is you. This is just yes. You.
It's like Whitney Plicity. It's just every Whitney's dumber than the Whitney before it. But there's like 37 copies.
Didn't we see Connie last season on like that one episode where they had the big fight about the thumbs up emojis? I felt like Connie was there. But again, a lot of the women look the same. So here's on Whitney's Instagram this week. She posted a video of her and Connie walking out her front door in like slow-mo and they're both wearing like leather jackets and Whitney has like very intense tassel fringe on her jeans and they walk really slowly and they get into like these matte black sports cars and then they drive off and I was like, what was that? It was like I was expecting him to like be promoting a sports car brand or like maybe some jean thing, but it was just them being like, we are hot and have the same hair and the same we're the same and we walk slow and we get into cars. I was like, what is happening in Salt Lake City?
We like mom hair and powder coats. Thank you for coming to our Insta page.
So, do you hear my chair creaking? I'm like, I sound like I'm in like steerage on an old timey ship. Do you hear this?
A little, yeah.
Sorry, everyone, for all the distracting noises.
I wouldn't have even known it. So Lisa's but like, I'm going to get sick. Okay, who wants champs? Which I'm glad we found yet another word to say champagne on these shows. And Heather's like, I'll take it. And Whitney, somebody says, I'll just have some sparkling water. And Heather goes, be careful because it'll freeze your ovaries. Remember, Mary? And Mary's like, I said hardens over time. Get it right. Hardens your ovaries.
And Lisa goes, Mary, I need to Google that. Is that real, baby gorgeous? Is that real?
She's like, everything I say is real. Everything I say. You got to Google it. You got to Google it.
Yeah, she's
don't
like,
do that. Like, please don't do that to me. Don't do that to me.
I was being fun. I was being really fun. I was like, Google. Google's fun. I was being fun. She goes, please don't talk to me like I'm dumb. If I say something, it's facts. It's facts. Okay. And then it comes to Lisa going, Mary, you're not an MD. Okay, I'm gonna Google it. Okay.
She goes, okay, you know what? We got a truce.
We got a truce.
She said, I was like, is Lisa using black scent here? What's she doing? And then she started kind of like waving her finger at Mary. And Mary's like, wow, you really got an attitude. She's like, no, I don't. She goes, oh, you're doing this to me with your hands? Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me.
And by the way, I think if Lisa tried to do black scent, we would definitely know, because it would probably be so strange. But that's
it did, because she goes, done, we got a truce. Like, it was weird. It was a weird moment. Said
truth, but either way, I can. Mary was like, you know, she was. Mary was just not having her whatsoever. And Heather was like, hot damn, Mary's coming for Lisa out of left field. Never saw it coming, but part of me is thrilled.
And Mary's like, I don't deal with little girls like you. You're silly. She's like, I don't even understand what's happening. And Mary tells us, it triggered me when Lisa said she needs to Google what I say. I mean, how about I Google what she says? Because most of the time she's lying. Oh, did I just say that? Oh.
And so then Mary's like, I don't even tolerate that. Tolerate what, Babagajas? Because you. So now it's like all tense, and they show up at this very sad tubing place at Soldier's Hollow, where it's not snowy anymore, but they had to like put out some fake snow. It just looked really depressing. And so Mary is all crabby, and Lisa's like, Mara, what was that, Mara? Like, I don't like, you know what, the way you were speaking, I don't love that. I don't love that, Mara. And Mary's like, she says, I don't like how you speak. It's demeaning, and you're my friend or you're not my friend. And Lisa's like, are you my friend? She's, well, I thought I was. She's, okay, then we're good, Mara. We're good.
But don't talk to me like I'm beneath you. Know that. Know that. God, this show, and it's using lines from every other Housewives show. And she's like, oh, geez, know that.
Yeah.
So Lisa's like, hey, listen, I was just saying, don't belittle me, because you keep talking about Googling things. What? Is it because I'm black? And she's like, this is ridiculous. Come on, Mary.
Mary, I am so sorry. From now on, I'll use Bing. I'll use Yahoo. I will not use Google, okay? And if you come at me again like that, then we're going to have another conversation, because that's not okay. It's one-sided, okay, baby gorgeous?
And then Mary goes, you're very sensitive. I mean, very sensitive. You need to toughen up, sweetie. What are you talking about? You're the one who just got all mad that someone used a Google.
You're the one who got mad that someone wanted to Google your crazy idea that Perrier could harden your ovaries.
This is great. This comes off to me as like, hey, I'm finally invited to a group event. I'm going to just start a fight.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep my snowflake and start a fight. So Jenny's like, oh my God. Speaking of, Jenny's like, oh my God, can we just shut the fuck up and have some fun so we can't? Let's just go. And so now she's yelling. And Mary is like, do not even use that word with me. You know what, sweetheart? Clean your language up. Is she serious? Is she serious?
And Jenny's like, I don't need all this shit. Today is not a good day for me, okay? And then like Jenny marches away, and then she stops short, and she sort of like looks back and then looks forward again. It was like very much like choreo. It was like ba-dum, ba-dum, boom. So she gives this look, and then Mary is like, are you serious? Or she says, yes, I'm serious. It's like, well, you shouldn't talk like that. She goes, well, this is how I talk. If you don't like it, you don't have to listen, Mary. It's not a good day for me, so don't start.
And Mary's just like, oh, okay, rude. And she's like, what? Excuse me? And everyone's like, come on, you guys. You're not even fighting about anything. Let's just go find something real to fight about, for Christ's sake. And Mary's like, well, I don't understand what's going on with her. I mean, she's the one using curse words.
Yeah. And Jenny's like, she's just basically like, she's like, I don't care what you think, Mary, so just keep your mouth shut. She shuts down Mary. I mean, it was pretty intense.
And she's like, no one tells me what to do. You're not my mom. And then she tells us she's stressed out because of everything she went through her husband. And she's just yelling, no one better fuck with me today. So now they're just going to walk their tubes up for this really long tubing scene. So then they do it. And they're like posing on the elevator slidey hill thing, whatever, that they get their tubes up on. And Mary's so pissed. She's like, Whitney, this is not fun. I mean, climbing a mountain when she comes, climbing up a mountain when she comes, not fun. Not fun.
Yeah. She's like, this is like my third mountain. Like, I didn't get to do dress up, and now I'm pulling something, big tire. It's probably my same weight. Huh. So she's like, Mary goes down the hill once and is like, I am done. I'm not doing this again, which is crazy because, I mean, it did look really fun, despite it being a very sad slope.
Whitney goes, if she didn't know what snow tubing was, maybe she should have Googled it.
Like, kind of looks at us like waiting for applause, and she got it for me. I liked it. So then, yeah, Mary sits it out, and Whitney and Angie, they're gonna do some wacky costumes today. So they go put on like Bigfoot Yeti costumes or something.
Exactly. And then Heather checks in with Mary and Mary to see what's going on with her, and Mary's just like, I just need to stay in the good lane and everything. And then while they're talking, you know, when they're talking, Whitney and Angie come out in their costumes and like attack Heather and Mary, and like the women don't care. They're like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's like, this is dumb. And Mary says, you know, I'm just staying in a good lane, because you have to stay in a good lane, because that keeps you having a bowel movement every morning, you know? You know when you're constipated, like you gotta stick up your it keeps you going. Okay. Advice from Mary. We need to compile all of this shit that Mary says. Yeah. And Heather goes, Whitney, it's my dream to be ravaged by a Sasquatch. So I'm like, is this an erotic dream or what? So then there's a big race and Mary's going to be the referee. And so they do it.
They split into teams. They split into teams of four. And there's like one team that's like Meredith and Lisa. And I forget who the third person is, but someone. And Lisa's like, Jen, come be part of our team. Be part of our team, Jen. Come on, Jen. But Jen, like, doesn't want to join the team. And Lisa gets offended. She's like, okay, this is, like, not the Lisa Barlow fan club I'm with today. Like, Jump up wants to be my friend. And what a good friend she is to me. But then, like, no one has my back on the bus. And now this, now she doesn't want to be on my tubing team. Like, okay, I see you. And guess what? I love that. Hey, gorgeous. Hey, baby gorgeous. I see you.
So then they put up these titles on the screen because Heather's saying, everybody go tits first, because that'll have our weight and that'll pull us faster. So they're like, tits out, it's a silicone championship. So they race and Heather's just yelling, tits out, go tits. Yeah. And Connie's team wins. And
wow, I can't believe you elevated Connie to team captain.
Yeah, Connie won, because Connie's focused, you know? Connie really doesn't care about causing drama. Connie just cares about winning this tubing thing.
Connie really wants to, like, create some separation between her and Whitney. She wants to make herself distinct, and by being a tubing champion, that's a step forward in that direction.
So they go eat lunch at the lodge, and the losers have to wear wigs now. Ha, 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 ha.
Ha, 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 ha. At least as far as wigs on Bravo go, because it's really becoming one of the most tired things, or like getting into wigs. At least this was actually pretty painless. It was a pretty quick thing, and they didn't even bother putting them on well. They just kind of like flopped them onto their head and were like, okay, fine, let's sit down and eat. So then they all get a bunch of sad chicken salad wraps and salads, and Mary is just not having any of this. She is pissed off, and Lisa's like, Mara, are you eating? Do you want me to use Bing to look up some good alternatives for you to eat? What do you think, Mara?
And Mary's like, I will. Don't worry about me. I will. And Jen's like, did you guys talk it out? And Lisa says, yeah, well, I mean, me and Mary, yeah, we talked about it a little bit.
And Mary just goes, I mean, you good?
Yeah, I mean, I was a little taken aback.
Well, I thought it was just a misunderstanding, so.
Yeah, but like Googling, I mean, nobody's going to say Googling, I know that much. Listen, I just don't want to have the assumption with anybody here that like, you guys like always think the worst of me, okay? That's what, you guys always think the worst of me. Like my intentions, I feel like we're good, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and Mary goes, we are good. And then Angie goes, well, Lisa, I've tried to reach out and I understand our relationship won't be the same, but I would like to let it go and move on for the sake of our own wellness. And Lisa goes,
well, unless you're saying sorry, I don't think there's anything else to say.
Have you seen my point of view at all? Did you hear my jokes where you add W. Bush to things? And sometimes it works out, especially if you say gorge.
Well, I think you felt hurt over something you misinterpreted, but not by something I did. So...
I'm not going to beat myself up and be accused of something I didn't do, okay? And a friend of 20 years doesn't do that, baby gorgeous, okay? End of story. I'm done. Love that. Love the end of the story.
Okay, but I still get to tell you. No, I'm sorry your feelings were hurt, but I didn't do anything.
But she didn't do anything to you either. She is just asking you about it.
You know what, Whitney? I was devastated by it, Whitney. So I feel like she did do something to me because my feelings were devastated.
Well, she felt like you did something too.
You know what? Don't bring yourself onto this. We are clean slate. 2022, Whitney. You and I are God.
Don't go backwards.
I am not going backwards. I am just saying that when you say one thing and do another, it breaks trust.
Well, I'm not into this like pile on fucking bullshit, cause that's what it is. And all I want to do is be fucking there and not have everyone question who I am or who I do or what I say or what I like to eat or why I go to Wendy's so much. I can't even say the word Google without someone jumping on me. Get off my fucking back.
You know who doesn't judge me? Henry. God, I love Baby Gorgeous.
You know who doesn't judge me? Chili in a tiny cardboard container from Wendy's. Okay? That's who did it.
You know who doesn't judge me? Bahama Bucks. Okay? They don't. Okay? Baby Gorgeous.
So Lisa says,
I don't know what's more hurtful, that Angie's going on and on with this, or that my two friends, John and Marath, are dead silent.
And Heather's like, okay, so let's be clear. You did not do it. No, I did not. It's an assault on my character. So you didn't say pull out of the event. Why would I do that? Why? Why would I do that?
For leverage.
Leverage.
Leverage for what? I don't even watch that show, okay? I don't work like that, Heather.
And then Lisa pivots to this amazing sob story.
My grandfather was gay, okay? And that's a big deal to me, to have someone accuse me of sabotaging something that supports a community that I love and I saw firsthand how difficult it is to navigate for gay grandpa, okay? Gay grandpa, okay? And Angie has been like a little sister for me, a straight little sister as opposed to gay grandpa. And you know what? I'm sorry. I hate crying. I hate crying over gay grandpa.
So Angie comes over in her Kill Bill suit and like gives her a hug. And she's like, you hurt me, Angie. Honestly. She's like, and I am sorry that I hurt you. And so Whitney tells us,
if I ever need to interrogate someone, I would bring Lisa in because she talks and talks and talks until you are at the point where you're like nauseam, where you're like, I will do what I have to do to get her to stop talking. Nailed it. Okay, cut and print.
So the Jenny is like, Mary, are we good? And she's like, Mary's like, sure. And Heather goes, well, yeah, what made you guys have a scuffle? And Jenny says, you know, I'm very open. I say what I think. And I don't like people telling me, oh, you can't do that. You can't do this. You're not my mom. You know, I grew up being Asian and being people picking on me. And therefore, I'm not going to go there. It triggered me. And when you said, you can't say this, you can't say that, you know what I'm saying? And like, why would you like, why are you telling me what to say, like, and what not to say? And Mary goes, good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, because she's not even looking at Mary. She's just telling all this to Heather. And so yeah. Mary's at the other end of the table, right? So she's like, Jenny is yelling her piece. And like, no one tells her what to do, but she's looking the other way. She's talking to the sky. She's talking to the birds. Like, if she's talking to me, which I know she was, you might want to look at me. And so Jenny keeps on. She's like, I mean, you don't know me. Don't attack me. Period. But she's still telling Heather. And mm-hmm. So Mary's just like, well, we hear you. Got it.
Yeah. Jenny reveals that it actually is that day is actually her daughter's death anniversary. And so that's why she's like very sensitive and triggered. And she's like, don't attack me because I will attack back. And then Mary just like smirks. I'm like, Mary, okay, I get it is frustrating that she's not looking at you. But it's her daughter's death anniversary, and you're supposed to be a spiritual leader, and you're smirking at this. I don't know. Not a great look.
Yeah. And so Jenny's sobbing now. And Jen says that she knows what she's going through because she's also had multiple miscarriages, and her and Coach wanted to have a basketball squad, and she gets it. And Jenny's like, I mean, I know you guys feel it because you guys are all moms. And Lisa's like, you know, I can imagine the pain that she's feeling, but not why she's sharing it with this group. I mean, they're all selfish bitches.
They all care about themselves. They didn't even cry when I told the story about my grandfather, who's gay. I know a gay person.
So then Jenny says she's moving on, and she's an adult, and they all basically do shots. And they're all just sort of like burying the hatchet, doing shots. But Mary, the episode ends with Mary just still scowling away.
Yeah, she's pissed off. Dun, dun, dun. And that brings us to the end of Salt Lake City. Join us tonight for Take a Seat, 7 p.m. Pacific and 10 p.m. Eastern over on the Green Room app by Spotify. Download that. Find Ben Maddock or Ronnie Karam and join us, okay? Can't wait to talk to you guys. And go get your Crappens Live tickets. You can find a link on our Instagram, link in bio, or just go to watchwhatcrappens.com.
Easy peasy. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels,
Dana C,
Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClellan.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better Than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie. Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica 500 Days of Summers. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No One Makes Us Feel Well Like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a can, and Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.